feel like we're doing the right thing. Sometimes we feel like it is the Lord's will for us to not be afraid, to really enjoy being in peaceful situation and be still. But I think we have to understand before we embrace the mission of God to really understand what is God's character. God never wants His people to be still. He always wants His people to move on. And I'm glad Moses and the Israelites obey God and move on. You know, aeroplane is a very unique and different mode of transportation. Aeroplane is unique because it is designed to move on. I've never seen an aeroplane hit the brake and then stop. And I said, let me take a picture. What a nice view. Never. We'll all be destroyed. And riding a car, the good things of riding a car, and when the few first days I was in Cape Town, there are many times I followed the GPS, and sometimes, you make the GPS kind of like frustrated. Because you thought you're going to turn right, and you keep going, and he said, keep turning right, and we keep going. He said, recalculating, you know. And many times, if I make a wrong turn, I can always back off. With the aeroplane, I've never seen an aeroplane, let's back off. It's going to damage. It's going to destroy you. Same thing. I think life as a Christian, or journey as a Christian, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to move on. God never wants us to just be in the same situation for years. God never wants us to backtrack. God always wants us to move on. We are to remember not only what we are, but also have to think of what God can make us. We should not only repent of what we have been, but rejoice in what we may become. That's why Jesus said, follow me and I will make you become. My question tonight is, how far do you want to go with God tonight? Where are you spiritually tonight? What kind of Christian are you? Are you a kind of Christian that's very stable to the point that you always be still? Are you going to follow God's plan to move on? I want us to turn over to the book of 1 Kings 19. And we're going to look at one young man. His name is Elijah. He became a very good disciple of Elijah, the prophet. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. Thank you very much. Are you there? I'm going to read it in verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12 pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elijah then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? He was shocked. He just came and see this young man. And this young man is so radical. He said, you know what? I'm going to leave everything. In fact, I'm going to go and kiss my mom and dad goodbye. I'm going to follow you. Elijah looked at this young man. What have I done for you? It's pretty radical. And I know that some of us in this room that have done something like that in the past. So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. You see, the first thing we see about Elijah is that he was a plowman. That's what he's doing. Here he was blowing his oxen, break up the tough ground. And he's doing that every day in his life. And he would remain a plowman to the end of his life. But God had a whole new ground in mind for Elijah to plow. It wouldn't be the hard natural ground that would concern Elijah after this point. But you know what? God had an even harder ground for Elijah to plow. And it would be the hard hearts of the Israelites themselves that Elijah would now be concerned with. We have been blessed by God in an amazing way. I look around all of us. None of us can say we are not been blessed by God. And we can keep our job. We can do whatever we do. But we have to learn. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we all called for a mission. Not just the church, but each and every one of us that call ourselves a disciple. We are called by God. Yes, we got to go do our job and be a great example, be the light over there. But remember, God provided us a hard ground of people in Cape Town, in South Africa, all around Africa for us to plow. And it's a hard ground. That's why God needs to prepare us. Same as God is preparing Elijah. But amazing thing is, we look at the attitude of Elijah. He never looked back. He burned the bridges. He said, I'm serious, you know what? I'm going to basically take up the whole thing, including the people that I love. And I remember that's exactly what I decided. When I make decision to become a disciple, I said, there is no looking back. I'm going to love God more than anything else. Jesus is the most profitable thing that I've ever seen in my life. I've ever experienced in my life. I look at a ledger, nothing compared to what I have gained from Jesus. I love Jesus. And I remember that time. I have to leave, because that time I worked in Chicago. I worked for Anderson Consulting. And I got a very, very good job. And I came to my partner and I said, you know what? Because the schedule of our work is tremendous. We have to work from basically 6 a.m. in the morning until 12 midnight. And that's the time when I studied the Bible. And I realized I can't go on like that. I came to my partner. And I remember I went to his room. I already counted the cost. I said, if this is God's will, then I'm going to still work for them. But if it's not God's will, I'll be kicked out. And I told him, every day, 6 p.m. at night, I'll be going out. Because I'm a disciple and I have a life that I have to grow to. And I mentioned about spiritual life, and he looked at me because he was a free thinker. He was silent for 2 minutes, and he was like, I look weird. But I don't care. And I said, you know what? That's what I'm going to do. Every night I'm going to go out. And on Sunday, I'm going to come to church. And I'll be coming in the office again at 5 p.m. That time our project was Boeing, and we have to work from Monday until Monday. You know what? After that, he looked at me, he said, you know, Harlem, I don't care what you believe. But I've never met anyone that dared to take a stand for what he believed in. Because of that, I let you go. You're the only one that can go but finish all your duties. You know what? There's no point to look back. But that's how we started our life as a disciple. Or yet we're not going to be in this room. We counted the cost, and we really know God's calling for each and every one of us. Now I want us to turn over to 2 Kings 2. Look at the journey that Elijah went through. 2 Kings 2, verse 1. This was a time when Elijah was about to be taken up to heaven. And Elijah was following him. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven, in a whirlwind. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know what the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know what the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walk on. 50 men of the company of prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And we know the end of this story, basically, Elijah got a double portion of the Spirit. It's amazing. And he's the only one. The other 50 prophets didn't get that. Only Elijah. See, what I like about Elijah, he was very consistent. He burned all that. He never wanted to look back. And then you keep looking at him. He's still the same man. He's a very consistent man. Nothing going to hold him back. My question is tonight, how many of us here that started great, but today somehow we start holding back and start looking back? There are four places that actually really interest me. And I want to talk about these four places, because these four places means a lot to the Jews. It probably doesn't mean a lot to us in here in Cape Town, but it really means a lot because it's a very memorable time for them. If they can visit that place, it's just like people from Cape Town go to Jerusalem, and then we go to the Lake of Galilee, and we're like, "This is awesome. This is the place where Jesus was." Same thing, these places means a lot to the Jews. But the funny thing is, why did Elijah have to take an odd route out of the land? Gilgal is very close to Jordan, but Elijah had to travel some 50 miles west to Bethel and then go back to Jericho near Jordan. Why did you have to go all the way to a different place and after that stay here and then you go to another place, another place, another place? There are four places that Elijah went to. First one is Gilgal. Second one is Bethel. The third one is Jericho. The fourth one is Jordan. What is Gilgal? What does Gilgal mean to the Jews? Number one, we're going to start from that place, Gilgal. The place of beginning. You know, for the Israelites, if they go there, they understand this was the place when they're able to just build up that stone to really see how awesome God has really done and has been blessing them. God has delivered them from Egypt. And this is the place of beginning for them. This is the place that they can really start something new. In Joshua 5, you don't have to turn over. Basically, God talked about the circumcised the Israelites again. Gilgal literally means rolling or roll away. Because basically what God is trying to say to the Israelites is this: that I roll away your past. Forget about your past. Forget about your history. Forget about all the depression, all the tough life that you have. Forget all that. I've separated you from all those that haunted you in your whole life. You are now a separated people. Separated from the past, but also you are separated unto a living God. Basically, Gilgal stands for separation. I told you a story. When I became a disciple, I literally had to separate from
from a lot of things. I remember I have to take a stand, and for the first time I feel lonely. Because I feel like, when I was in sin, everyone is fine. When I stop sinning, people start coming after me. Including your family. It's funny. But I feel so free because I know all my sins have been forgiven. I remember I was so excited as a young Christian. And I started going to my friends, working for Anderson Consulting, and then went to my friend, another one is manager for Pricewaterhouse. I went there and I reached out to them. I've been friends with them for many, many years. But for the first time I shared about my own life, about how God has really freed me from all the sin. I remember one of my friends that worked for Pricewaterhouse, he said, I don't care whether I go to hell or not. I said, but would you be willing to listen to my sharing? And I would like to have somebody, because I don't really know how to open up the Bible, but I just wanted to come and start studying the Bible. 3 weeks in a row, as I was a young Christian, I was fruitful 3 times. It is amazing to see my close friend become a disciple. And I enjoy that life so much. What a memory. I don't know what is your memory about that place of beginning. I believe all of us here have that memorable time when we know that our sins are forgiven and we're excited because God is so amazing in our lives. But the question is, far too many Christians spend their entire Christian life at Gilgal. They never grow. They never leave the place of beginnings. Around 4.5 or 5 years ago in Jakarta, we make a decision throughout the whole church. We know that Indonesia is the largest Muslim country in the world because we are much larger than Saudi Arabia because our population is the fourth largest in the whole world. We have 260 million people. 85% are Muslim, so that's make it more than 200 million. So we beat other Arab nations. And it's one of the largest Al-Qaeda base because there's many, many Muslims. And this country is very unique because we have 17,000 islands. 17,000 islands. 17,000. But only 8,000 are inhabited. Because during high tide, a lot of them will be gone. So small. But it is incredible, it's a beautiful country. And that's where Bali is. You've heard of Bali, right? A lot of people don't know Indonesia, but they know Bali. So if Bali is in Indonesia, amen. So beautiful, so romantic. But the view is much better here. But Bali is more romantic. Because of the wave. I represent the Minister of Tourism. Please come to Indonesia. Oh. We feel like this country is difficult for us to evangelize. So we make a decision. Everyone that we're going to baptize from now on, we're going to really help them to really grow. Every disciple will have a follow-up study. Every disciple will have their growth path and they will keep growing, they will keep growing, they will keep growing. We have been doing it for the last 1.5 to 5 years. And now I can say almost 98% of our young Christians today, they really enjoy their Christian life. They didn't stay put. They didn't stay put. And they're doing well for God. God has been blessing us that every week right now in Jakarta, we have 900 people studying the Bible consistently every week. God has been really blessing. But you know what? Don't look at the result. You got to see that if we are able to make people to move forward, to move on and not stay in Gilgal, a lot of things are going to happen. How many of you still stay in Gilgal? When are you going to leave the place of beginning? The second place is actually Bethel. Bethel is known as the place of dreams. Remember, You don't have to open, but in the book of Genesis 28, that's the time when basically Jacob saw the angels of God ascending and descending. That's when he had a dream. And he called that place the house of God. That's what Bethel means, the house of God. Because he had amazing time with God. And he had been in the very presence of God. And he captured that dream. I believe in our life as a Christian, there are times in our life that we captured that dream. God is so amazing. And we feel like our life is so great. And we start seeing the dream in the kingdom. And we feel like, and we make a vow to God, God, I'm going to do great for you. In my life, I'm going to do that. I'm going to lead this. I'm going to do amazing thing for you. Use me, God. I remember that prayer. Because I prayed that prayer in Chicago. 1994, I went back because Vanya couldn't get a visa. I came back. I got back to Jakarta Church. I looked at the church. The church was about 200 people. And I was part of Chicago Church, Great Chicago Church. Every Sunday we meet together with 3,000 disciples. I came back. And I didn't like Indonesia because it's one of the most corrupt countries in the world. I didn't like it. And I started losing my dream. You know my dream? My dream is always go back to America. The land of milk and honey. I didn't know South Africa then. I would have changed my mind, you know, had I known Cape Town. But I lost my dream. And John Louis came. He said, brother, I love you. You know John Louis is short. He said, I love you. I said, I don't love you. I just want to run away. And basically, Vanya and I, we literally have to make ourselves weak. Because we know if we are strong, we're going to be pulled into ministry. So we came to church late. We sit at the back. Always critical. And John always, every day, said, do you have dream for Indonesia, brother? I said, no. Not long after that, we gave up because we watched a movie. See, imagine, we are so unspiritual. It's not the Bible that changed us. We watched a movie, Sinner's List, and we watched that movie. I feel so bad. We went back that night with Vanya. We discussed. We said, you know, if we're going to live our life once, we're going to make it worthwhile. We decided, you know what, maybe we should talk with John. And finally, we joined the ministry. But when we joined the ministry, it was quite tough. Because I feel like, what is this? We try to invite people. People did not show up. A lot of people are liars. In America, if you invite people, out of four, at least two will make it. In Indonesia, I invite 10 people, they all say they're going to come, none of them show up. Their biggest sin is lie and deceitfulness. And I don't like them. And I don't like to have that dream. To make it even worse, we keep moving every Sunday. Because our church is not registered. The government did not allow any church to be registered. That's a law in the government. There is no way for you to register your church. Unless you bribe the government $1 million. And there is still no guarantee. I was tempted, but you know, I am a disciple. We never even tried to do that. Basically, it's so difficult. And there's one point of time that we have to went up to the 20th story building. There's no electricity, and we basically have to climb up. I'm glad that time there was no pregnant sister. 20 floors. By the time we went there, we are not in the mood of worshiping God anymore, you know? So tiring. Every week we got to change place. But I remember John Louis said before the church, said, we got a dream. We got to really believe. We got to see that one day God is going to register our church. I remember when he said that, I look at this guy. He's a crazy man. But the church keep praying and fasting and really have faith. It's amazing. Because 10 years in the waiting, one day There's one general. His name is Wiranto. He's a joint chief. He was a joint chief of staff. He was like a Colin Powell of Indonesia. Very high power. He said, I want to find an English teacher, someone that is native speaker, but also can speak Bahasa, our national language. And of all the places, he picked Peter Smith. Peter Smith is a brother from America, Milwaukee. He was very thin. Not impressive. At all, I'm telling you. Not impressive at all. And then a year later, the general said, you know what, Peter, I want to adopt you to be my son. And after that, he had a talk with Peter. He said, Peter, you know what? You have been a great blessing for me. You have helped me so much. Now, can I give you money? Peter said, no. Can I give you a house, a car? He said, no. And Peter remembered, Book of Esther, in such a time as this. It's good for you to memorize the scripture sometimes. And then Peter said, you know what? What if you help us to register our church? And he said, what? Your church is not registered? He said, no way. And then he called up his assistant, another general. His name is Bambang. He said, Bambang, I want you to settle this. Within less than 1 week, I want this church to be registered. 3 days later, I still remember that moment because we were walking on the red carpet. And all the eyes of the Department of Religion, they look at us. But we walk in. They said, please sign in. And please don't call Wiranto and Bambang anymore. Please sign. We signed. We registered nationally. Dream come true. And you know what? Who Bambang is today? Bambang is our current president now. Our president today is the one that got used to register our church. Dream. No matter how impossible it is, if you are with God and that's God's will, He's going to make it happen. How many of us still dreaming? Or we are discouraged? How many of us today desire for God and His kingdom? We catch the vision of God many years ago. We feel the need, we feel the burden, but we never pass the place of dreaming. Where are you today? Thirdly, Jericho, the place of victory. For Israelites, Jericho is a place of victory. It's amazing because they see how God works in an amazing way. They walk around 6 days, 7 days, wall fell off. What a victory. Everyone remembers that story. Because they know when they walk by faith, God really blessed them. Remember, I can imagine when they're walking the first day, and people behind the Jericho wall will look at them. They are nuts. What are they doing? We can kill them. And then they're like, and they use fufuzela. It's the loudest thing ever, you know? I like it so much, I brought two. Because I'm going to blow that fufuzela in Jakarta. And then you, boo, boo. What are you doing? They boo, but they walk by faith. They don't know what's going to come up. It really did not make sense. But they keep doing that. They keep doing that. They trust God and they obey God. And they experience that. They experience that victory. Remember a time in your Christian life, you didn't know much, but you just walked by faith. It's better sometimes to be dumb. Because when you trust God, you obey God. Somehow God make it reverse that you will understand it. And it all makes sense. But it's later on in your life. It's amazing because about around the same time, 4.5, 5 years ago, Jakarta, basically, I told you already, we are basically disciples of great heart, but they lack faith. We decided we're going to go, we're going to pray, we're going to fast, but we're going to learn to walk by faith again because God really humbled us to the point we could not depend on our experience, we could not depend on whatever method of evangelism plan that we used before. We basically have to say to God, God, we are useless, We are nothing, but we want to trust you. We start having faith, and we make plan. You don't make plan without having faith. You don't have faith and not making any plan. Because if you have faith, you're going to have plan. We started with a plan, and amazing, we started with 50 Bible talks. And today we have 250 Bible talks going on all around Jakarta. And amazing, because we start seeing people. Usually in the past, zero or one people would come. And we start seeing 10 people, 20 people coming. And all of a sudden, we start seeing our Bible talks filled with many, many people. And God started blessing us with many, many people that got baptized. Last year, we're so excited. We never have any more campaign, but we just learned to walk by faith. God give us daily baptism in Jakarta. The last 2 years, we have been able to send 5 missions because we walk by faith. We did not even know who to send, but we want to trust God. We plan until the year 2020. We will send 5 missions per year. It is scary for us. But we learn as we walk by faith with God, we start seeing things that is impossible become difficult. Now today we still look at the mission team as difficult. But one day we're going to look back, we said, it's done. From impossible, difficult, done. But God always starts with something that's impossible. When was the last time you have that victory? Or you still keep that memory in Jericho that you had many years ago? Or you want to walk with God, walk by faith with God, and start seeing a new victory in your life? I really believe. I spent time with a lot of disciples here in Cape Town. I'm telling you, this is my prayer. This is our prayer. And we're going to go back, and we're going to ask the whole church to pray for you guys. Because we believe the victories is yet to come. Fourthly, and lastly, Jordan, the place of death. Because remember that time before they crossed, they know the river flow was so great. So great. And it's very challenging for them. And for them to be able to just cross the river, holding down that ark, and believing that, not look down, but look at God. And risking your life and really trusting God going to bring you there safely. Basically, you have to risk your life. And only people that are willing to risk their lives are able to cross that Jordan. We all know the story of it. But I don't know, I want to ask every one of us here. Maybe you're not in the place of beginning. Maybe you're past the place of dream. Maybe you experience victory today. But I look around this room, I want to ask you, how many of you are willing to risk your life? Lay down your life for Jesus. How many of you are willing to risk your life, lay down your life for each other, so that the mission in South Africa, that God's name will be glorified? You know, I want to close up by reading Philippians 2. I like this passage. Philippians 2, verse 25. Paul basically called his brother, his name is Epaphroditus. His name is not so often quoted in the Bible. He's just like us, disciple. But it's amazing. Paul said in verse 25, Philippians 2, verse 25, "But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs." Epaphroditus was sent by the church to go and be able to meet Paul. Paul was in the prison in Philippi. An amazing thing was, Epaphroditus was willing to risk his life. He was sick, almost to the point of dying. But he's willing to go and be there because he is a partner. And he loves Paul to death. Paul called him not just fellow brother, but fellow worker. And fellow soldiers. You are all my brothers and my sisters. You are my fellow brothers and sisters. But let me ask you, how many of you consider fellow workers? God has been blessing our tremendous brothers and sisters. They are my fellow brothers and sisters. We love them. We all, if we die, we're going to go to heaven. But how many of us can be called fellow workers that we are in the same team building God's kingdom? And let me ask you another question. How many of you can be called fellow soldiers that are willing to cross that Jordan so that Cape Town and South Africa can be evangelists? These are the four places I want to leave you with. As you think of the church on a mission and how God is going to accomplish this mission, God needs you and me. And each and every one of us, we have to make decision today. But where and how far are you willing to go with God? Let's all pray. God, thank you so much tonight for everyone here. We feel so much blessing here. Father, we pray that you really bless all the brothers and sisters here to really make decisions, to really see where we really are honestly before you. And I pray, Father, that you help us, Father, so that we can glorify your name, that we can really make South Africa, Father, really love you and really listen to the gospel and become your disciple. Thank you, God, for everything. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.